We had last week to discuss the definition of achila in the Torah as it relates both in terms of isurim as well as in terms of mitzvahs. And we mentioned that there's a basic distinction between a person who eats a certain amount, a sheer quantitative amount, as usually the sheer is a kezayis, in contrast to a person who eats a kol sheir. So we said that although in order to be chayav malchus or kares, one requires a kezayis, that's halacha Moshe Sinai, but chatzi sheir is also in the Torah. But the nature of that is, what's the exceptions to that rule, is the things we spoke a little bit about the last week, but the basic two halachas are intact, that chatzi sheir is also in the Torah, yet to be chayav, one would require to eat a much more of an amount, i.e. the quantity of a kezayis. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Makos, and so gives in Maseches Chulin, that there's an exception even to that rule. And is that halacha l'Moshe Sinai of kezayis, that less than a kezayis, but it's not chayv and onesh? So that's not always true. That sometimes one can be chayv and onesh even for eating a very, very small amount, and that's when one eats what's called a beria, one eats a whole unit, a whole entity, and that's the halacha equivalent of eating a kezayis. So what one is missing in terms of quantity, one can make up in terms of quality. What are some examples of eating a beria? So the Gemara Mishnah, the Gemara give a few examples. The famous example is the Mishnah in the third parak of Makos, where the Mishnah speaks about eating an entire bug. The person eats an amal, eats an entire ant. So that's considered to be an iser deraisa, which carries with it malchus. Not only is it chatzishir, it's worse than chatzishir, it carries with the malchus, because even though you didn't eat quantitatively a kezayis, but you ate an entire entity, so that's the iser deraisa of eating shiratzim. And the Gemara in the second parak of Pesachim goes on to say that depending on what kind of bug you eat, you may end up with more malchus than you think. You can end up with a total maybe of six different chiyuvei malchus for one bug. How can that be? So the Torah in Pasha Shemini describes, you're not allowed to eat a bug that crawls, you're not allowed to eat a bug that flies, you're not allowed to eat a bug that swims, and a bug that's a sheretz ha'of, and a sheretz ha'mayim, and a sheretz ha'is, sheretz ha'das. The Gemara says, you can have a scenario where a person eats one bug, one time, it's less than a kezayis, one bug and chayv of shisha malchus, you chayv six times malchus for it. So the Rambam in Parash Mishnayis, the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs describes a certain kind of a bug. He describes this as a bug that the Gemara is talking about, that it flies, it swims, it jumps, it does upside down, it does everything. It has every possible Achiyah Malchus of Parash Mishmini. So the Ramban writes in that Rambam, he says, he doesn't believe such a bug exists. He says, how can you have one bug that swims, it flies, and yet it can't be? So the Rambam saw jukes, and the Ramban didn't see jukes. You see a big jukes in there, so they do everything. You swat at them, they fly away. You put them into water, they swim away. Whatever you do, they get away from you. So that's what the Rambam was referring to. The Ramban didn't get to Eretz Yisrael until later in his life, so maybe when he got to Eretz Yisrael, he saw jukes. But in the early years, he didn't see a juke. He couldn't believe such a thing exists. But whatever it is. Anyway, so the bottom line is, the Gemara says the favorish that if you eat a bug, so that's considered to be eating a berry in your chayv. The Gemara Chulin has other examples of Isurim that would be subject to this criteria of beria. The Gemara talks about if a person eats an entire treif of bird. Now normally if you eat a treif of bird, it's more than a kezayis, but not necessarily. You can have a treif of bird that's very small, a little baby bird. So if you eat an entire bird, so you'd be chay of malchus for that. The Gemara has an example of eating an entire gidan nosh. The Gemara has the sugya of a beria in several places in Jas. Question is, does any of this issue of beria have any relevance for us? So the answer is no. The Hilchos beria doesn't really speak to us for the following reason. We pass in the chatz ishir asam in the Torah. So if somebody comes and asks us, can I eat an entire bug? So the answer is, of course you can't eat a bug. Forget about with your chay malchus. It's asam in the Torah. A person comes and asks, can I eat an entire baby tray for birds? So the answer is, of course not, because chatz ishir asam in the Torah. So it's going to happen after committed for malchus. We're not giving malchus today. We haven't given malchus in 2,000 years. So for us, the issue of beria is really, it's a lot of lumdus about beria there. Sugis and shas about beria, but in terms of practical nafkamina, not all that much, because of manav shach. Lagabi the yisir, it's also even pachas b'kashir. Lagabi the malchus, no one's giving malchus today, so who cares whether there's a dinner beria or not. So the truth is that the original dinner beria, as appears in the Gemara, in the context of malchus, really doesn't speak to us today. But the application of beria is still relevant for us today. That's the Gemara also in the seventh parak of Maseches Chulin. The Gemara tells us that when you have a taroves, so normally we know that if you have a taroves, so if there are rules, what's multiple taroves, multiple shisha, multiple mem, messiah, very, very complicated. We've been spending the last 3 years on Friday mornings in Bnei Yeshurun discussing the ins and outs of a taroves. So one of the rules of a taroves is a Mishnah that appears in the seventh prayer of Chulin, where the Mishnah says that gives you an example. Let's say you have a gid hanosha. and you have one gid anosha, it gets mixed into a lot of other gidim. The other gidim are kosher, not all the nerves in the animal treif, only the gid anosha is treif. So you get one gid that gets mixed into a thousand other gidim, and you can't tell which is which. So the Mishnah says you have to throw them all out. So the Gemara says, why do you have to throw them all out? Why do you say it's batal? So the Gemara says, no, you can't apply the regular rules of bitulia because it's a barrier, because it's an entire unit, it's an entire entity, and a barrier is not going to be batal, or at least according to the most of the Rishonim, it's never going to be batal. There's one opinion of the Rishonim that says that a barrier will be batal at a very, very high number. If you get a wild number of a very, very significant number, and then the question is what that number is, maybe even a barrier can be batal. But we usually assume that a barrier is Shulchan Aruch Paskins, a barrier can't be batal at all. Why is that a barrier can't be batal? So the Ritva in Maseches Chulin explains, because the idea of bittul is when you have something that loses its chashivas, like bittul chametz. Like, I don't really care about this chametz, it's batal. We have a verizara, I don't really care about this verizara, it's batal. Or bittul Torah means, I don't really care about Torah, I'm not going to bother learning today, it's batal. Bittul always conjures up the image of something that's lacking chashivas. So the Ritva says that how can you turn around and say with a straight face that this berry is batal? The berry doesn't have chashivas to it. The Torah is screaming out at us and saying that if you eat this berry, you chay malchus. So you see the Torah grants of chashivas. There's an objective chashivas to this item. So how can you say that it's batal? The whole concept of bittul doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says the favorish that based on the rules of barrier, because there's a din of barrier in Hilchas, Hilchas Malchus, Hilchas Onshin, Hilchas Kizayis, etc. So there's a new entity in Halach or the barrier. So therefore, that din of barrier carries over to Hilchas Taroivis as well. So that's Taka Machlokes Rishonim. Is that a din d'oraisa? Is that a din d'rabbanan? So in Hilchas Malchus, it's a din d'oraisa. You give a guy Malchus, that's a din in the Torah. So the Tosis in Bav Metzia, the beginning of Bav Metzia sounds like Tav Davav. I don't think we're going to get to it this year. But Tosis in Davav and Bav Metzia sounds like that's a din in the Torah. Just as a barrier is so choshev in Hilchas Malchus, you get Malchus for it, even though you didn't eat the right amount. Who are the Nami Hilchas Taroves? It's not bottle even min Torah. And the Ritva himself writes that's not true. The Ritva writes that it's only mid Rabbanan. That the Chachamim instituted the Chumrah of barrier in a Betela, but they patterned it after the Din Deraisa of barrier being choshev to give a person Malchus. So the concept of barrier is a Deraisa, says the Ritva. The application, the Hilchas Taroves, may only be mid Rabbanan. So it doesn't make much of a difference for us whether you're like Taisa or like the Ritva. The bottom line is, there's a Din in the Gemara that a barrier is in a Betela. So even though the original din of barrier vis-a-vis onshim, it doesn't really speak to us, isn't too relevant today. But this secondary din of berry, either deraisa or derabanan, is very relevant for us. We have the shadow all the time. We pass that a bear is in a betela. So next time you get a whole bird mixed up with your food, so we're going to say it's in a bottle. Even if you can't see it, it's still going to be in a bottle. Next time we get a gidanosha mixed in, we're going to say in a bottle. So those parts of Torah probably don't speak to us too much. But the part that really is relevant for us is the issue of the bugs. So we pass in Laloch, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, that if you have a Tarovis, you have a bug, it's mixed into a big pot of soup, and you can't even find the bug anymore. I know there's a bug there. I know I saw it fall in. I know there's a bug there. But now it fell into a big pot of chola. So there's a lot of chola, there's potatoes and that. You can't find the bug. I know it's in here somewhere, but I can't find it. So Shulchan Aruch says you can't eat the entire pot of chola. Why? Why don't you say it's about a little bit of shish, a little bit of rope, but the elef, whatever the numbers, a bit large. So the Shulchan Aruch says, no, you can't. He quotes from the Rishon, a quote from the Gemara in Chulin, that barrier ain't a betela. Now, anything that's a barrier is considered to be so choshev, just as in Hilchas Achilas, in Hilchas Malchus, in Hilchas Kizayis, a barrier trumps everything. A barrier is considered to be a whole entity, and therefore it's a problem. So too in Hilchas Tarovis, it's a problem as well. So this causes us a lot of issues in terms of kashrus today. That anytime we have a bug, anytime we suspect there's a bug, whether it didn't in Shulchan Aruch as to how much we have to suspect our bugs, that's a whole different topic. But once we reach the point that we suspect that there's a bug there, once the halacha requires of us to assume that there may be a bug there, so then we can't just close our eyes and say, well, it's there, but it must be mixed up in the whole head of broccoli. I don't see it. It must be mixed up in the whole pot of shalt. I don't see it. It must be mixed up in the whole pile of barley. I can't see it anymore. No, once the halacha says yes to be choshish that it's there, then you cannot invoke the principle of bittul. That's the way we assume the halacha. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. There's one of the chareim, the crazy places, the Rav Shitz writes that maybe the oilim is making like that day in Rishem. There's one day in Rishem that says that a barrier can be bottle at some point. At what point can it be bottle? So they dug up a Mishnah that speaks about a sheer bittul of 960. 960 is a wild number, where'd that come from? So they try to explain to you where that number came from. 960, you times 60 by 6, by you add up 3, that's like a gematria. You get to that fancy number of 960. So one of the Rishonim, the Rash, holds that maybe there's a din of Bittul for a berry at the point of 960. So most of the Rishonim hold the Hayud Rami of the Mishnah. There's no such Mishnah, Mishnah is not talking about that, no such halacha. So Shulchan Aruch, that's not quoted. So the crazy place, he throws his hands up and he says, he thinks that maybe the Olam is relying on that. He says, people are eating foods, they're not checking for bugs, they're assuming it's bottle. Who's a bottle? We're a bottle. Shulchan Aruch says, bugs are never bottle, it's berries in a bottle. Well, what's the Olam relying on? Maybe they're relying on that one das yachid that we don't paskin like. So whatever, maybe it's a little bit of a limutzchus. But anyway, getting back to this story. So the din of beria, the primary din of beria, isn't really relevant for us, but the application of beria is relevant. Is there any other part of Hilchos Beria that is relevant for us in terms of achilas? So there is a din in Hilchos Brachos that we assume that the only time a person is required to make a bracha acharona is if the person ate a kezayis. So let's say a person eats a piece of bread that's less than a kezayis, so he doesn't have to, he's not supposed to recite Birchas HaMazon. Not only is that true for Birchas HaMazon, but it's true for other brachas and achronas as well. Even though the only bracha d'orais that we have is bracha is Birchas HaMazon, but mit the Rabbanan, the Chachamim instituted to make a burn of fosh, you have to eat an apple, and they instituted according to many Rishonim, al-Michi is also mit the Rabbanan. They instituted if you have polosur, you have to make an al-Michi, you have a couple of grapes, you have to make an al-Eitz. So the Chachamim instituted Ruchos Brachos, and they instituted Ruchos Brachos that has to be an achila. So achila means a kezayis. So you only recite a bracha achron if you ate a kezayis. That's what we assume the halacha. So comes Tosfos and has a shayla. What would the din be if you have Hilchos Beria playing out of Hilchos Brachos? What would the din be if you ate an entire unit, an entire entity that isn't quite quantitatively a kezayis, but on the other end, it's an entire unit? So maybe you can argue that you would recite a bracha achrona on that. So what's it considered to be an entire unit? So Tosfos raises a question. They go from the Yerushalmi. Let's say a person eats an entire grape or something. They eat an entire olive. They eat an entire olive. So isn't it a kezayis? So not necessarily, because there are different sizes of olives. So it could be that the halach of kezayis is set in the kezayis beidini. It's only considered to be a kezayis if it's a medium-sized olive. Let's say a person ate a very, very small olive. So he ate an entire unit. So maybe that's considered to be chayef to recite a bracha achrona. So what's the din? Would we say that a person has to recite a bracha achrona v'ala eitz if he ate an entire grape? Even let's say the grape was smaller than a kezayis. That's 2 days in Taisus. So there's a Rishalmi that says that yes, the Rishalmi is the favorite that you have to. And Taisus is not sure whether the Bavli disagrees or not. Taisus claims that the Gemara in Ketz Mevarchin disagrees. And Taisus re-explains that the Gemara in Ketz Mevarchin maybe doesn't disagree. So Taisus is left by a Safek. They're not sure whether we follow that Yerushalmi. So Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted as a Safek, but we try to avoid the Shaila. Shulchan Aruch recommends that a person shouldn't eat a beria. You shouldn't sit down and eat one grape. If you eat one grape, then you're not really sure. Do you make a bracha achrona or not? So either eat half a grape or eat 10 grapes, whatever the amount of grapes is to be a kezayis. Don't get yourself stuck right smack in that middle of positions. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I've told over the story before. I don't know if I've told it over to this group, but I've definitely told over the story more than once in the shul. About how this once had a deal with the Shaila, goes back on a date. So the Shaila goes back 2 decades ago at least. So I went once to pick up a girl in her house, and the father sat down with me, and he says, "Yeah, please have some fruit." He wasn't giving me the mechina. You know, in Europe used to give a mechina on which bracha to make first. Now that wasn't the point of the discussion. So he said, "Please make a bracha on a fruit or something before you go." So I was looking at the bowl of fruit. So I looked quickly. I saw the apples there. You know, the problem is the apple means there's going to be a core. What are they doing? The apple is sticking in my pot. So if I saw grapes, so much safer route to go. So I figured, okay, I'll take a grape. So I plucked off a grape. I'm about to make a bracha on the grape, and then I realized, oh no, this suffix is going to be, I'm going to have 1-2 grapes. It's going to be a suffix bracha achrona. So it's not going to look very nice. I'm going to sit down and have a whole meal, put a napkin in my lap, sit down and have 20 grapes. It's not going to look so nice. So what am I going to do? So I was thinking fast, and then I realized that the place can write, that's only considered to be a berry if you eat the entire berry. But if you take away part of the grape, cut the grape away, you don't eat the entire grape, so then you wouldn't have to make a bracha according to anybody. So it was also a little bit embarrassing. I asked for a knife to cut the grape away. So as I was eating the grape, so I just pulled a little bit of the grape off, scraped a little bit of the grape off, so it wouldn't be an entire berry. Then the problem was, what am I supposed to do with that little piece of the grape? So I found its way into my pocket, I think, inconspicuously maybe, and that was it. So that was the grandiose discussion from that particular day. The date didn't go further than the, but at least the end of his bracha shaila out of that date. That was as far as we got. So anyway, getting back to the story. So the din of beria, as appeared in the Gemara in terms of onshin, not too relevant for us, but as relevant to Hilchos Beria are relevant to us, because brachas may be relevant as well. This din, the stam achilu bekezayis, where does this come from? So the Gemara is befeirish. This is halacha Moshe Mesina. This is one of the many dinim of shiur and halacha Moshe Mesina. The Gemara says this in a few places. One of them coming up at the beginning of Erevin. Those were starting Daf Yomi today. It's on Daf Dal and Erevin. The Gemara quotes that shiur and chetzitz and mechitz and halacha Moshe Mesina. These three areas. It doesn't mean these are the only three areas. These are three of the many, many areas of halacha Moshe Mesina. But one of the areas of halacha Moshe Mesina is hilchos shiurin. Shiurin means that these measurements. Where did these measurements come from? A kezayis, a kebetz, a tenth. Four Amos, four Tfachim, all these wild shiurim we have in Halacha that govern Hilchus Kashrus and Hilchus Shabbos and Hilchus Erev, all the shiurim, where they come from. The Gemara says they came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are all Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So the Gemara says that the Shiur of Kezayis was Halacha Moshe Mesinai. There's a remez for it in the Torah. The Gemara says there's a remez, there's a hint in the Tashat of Sav for the Shiur of Kezayis. It says, Eretz Zei Shemen Udvash. So Eretz Zei Shemen means that Eretz Sherov Shireh Bekezayis. It means most of the Halachas that revolve around Jewish Halacha, most of the things you have to keep in Eretz Yisrael, so you always have to ask yourself about Kezesim. So the Gemara says, I remissed that idea, but that's not the Pashup Shah and the Pasuk. Of course, the Gemara says that the Halacha Moshe Mesinai is ultimately the source of the din of the Kezayis. The Gemara then explains to us that there was a second half of that Halacha Moshe Mesinai. When the Rebbe Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu that Stam Achilim Kezayis, so he explained to him that how long does it take for you to eat this Kezayis? Let's say a person sits down and has a piece of chazer in the morning, half a Kezayis of chazer at 8 o'clock in the morning, then he has another half for lunch and another. And a third, let's say a third of, it's hard to have three halves. You have one third of a kezayis for breakfast. You have your, what do you eat for breakfast? Bacon, okay? Bacon and egg, a little piece of bacon in the morning for breakfast. Then 3 hours later, lunchtime, you have a third of kezayis, a ham sandwich, okay? And then for dinner, what do you have? Pork chops, okay, yeah. So the mice, the guy, over the course of 10 hours, he ate a kezayis a chazer. So is he chayim malchus or not? So the Gemara says, no, he's not chayim malchus. Why? Because even though it's true that he ate a kezayis, but he didn't eat it within the proper shiur, within the amount of time. What is the amount of time? So the Gemara says that was also Halacha Moshe Mesinai called kedei achilas pras. You have to eat your kezayis, whatever kezayis, you have to eat your kezayis within the amount of time that a normal person would take to eat a pras, to eat X amount of bread. How much bread is it? So that's a shayla already in the Rishonim. How the whole complicated sukkah says Erevin, does that boil down to 3 eggs worth of bread or 4 eggs worth of bread? Doesn't mean how many eggs you put into the batter to make the bread. It means the volume of 3 eggs or the volume of 4 eggs. That's the shiur of kedei achilas pras. And then the Gemara continues that the shiur was given dafka on paschitim, which takes a little quicker to eat rather than pasarim, and you're eating in a relaxed way, you're eating the haseba, all complicated. Halacha Moshe Mesinai. That's the shiur called, but we call it in our quick terms kedei achilas pras. So kedei achilas pras is a time frame, the amount of time that it takes for a person to eat a certain volume of bread. So if you eat your kezayis within that amount of time, it's bistarif b'yachad and yichayim malchus. If it takes you longer than that to eat your kezayis, then already it's not going to be bistarif. Chatzis shiur is also bistarif. You're violating this deraisa even for the smallest amount, but even less than a chatzis. Chatzis shiur, Rashi says, means even the smallest amount. Chatzis is lav dafka. But in order to be chayim malchus, a kares, you have to eat your kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that this shiur of kedei achilas pras is not only true in terms of isurim, but it's true in terms of mitzvahs as well. So in order for a person to be yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah, the Gemara says beferish, you have to eat kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. So achilas yos b'chdei achilas pras, so you wouldn't be yotze the mitzvah. Just practically speaking, how long is kedei achilas pras? That's a very hard answer to give, because practically speaking, how much is a kezayis? That's also a hard answer to give. But the one thing that we know is that there's a ratio between the two, because a kezayis is a certain ratio to a kebetza, and a kebetza is a certain ratio to kedei achilas pras. So if you have very, very big kezayisim, then you have very, very long kedei achilas pras. If you have very, very short, small kebetzim, then you have very, very short kedei achilas pras. So there is the shear is for sure a ratio. We don't know what the numbers are in terms of volume wise, exactly how much is a kezayis. We're not sure minute wise exactly how long kedei achilas pras is, but the one thing we know is that it's a ratio. So that's why it's a little bit strange. Those people who are so machmir the seder for the biggest kezayisim, and they try to shove down the biggest kezayisim with the smallest amount of kedei achilas pras. So that's a little bit silly, because if your kezayis grows, then your kedei achilas pras grows with you. Because kedei achilas pras is defined by the amount of time it takes a person to eat a certain amount of beitzim, and beitzim are a certain amount of kezayisim. So if your kezayis is bigger, then your kedei achilas pras is bigger. So to say that I have a tremendous kedei achilas pras with the shortest, the biggest kezayis with the smallest kedei achilas pras, that's a type of disaster. That doesn't make any sense. So again, there are different shitas, both in terms of how much kezayis is, how much kedei achilas pras is. What I usually tell people to say is very simple. Just eat normal. Because if you eat normal at a normal pace, then
by definition you ate kedecha l'spras. Kedecha l'spras means the amount of time it takes a normal person eating at a normal pace, relaxing, no one's rushing, no one's going anywhere, to eat a normal amount of 3 or 4 eggs. So 3 or 4 eggs worth of bread. So 3 or 4 eggs worth of bread is much more than a kazayas of matzah. It's 6 or 8 times. It's a tremendous amount more than a kazayas. So if a person is eating matzah and just eating and not talking and just eating a normal swallowing at a normal pace, you by definition ate way within kedecha l'spras. You didn't get anywhere near the shear of kedecha l'spras. The only time you'd run into a problem with kedecha l'spras, the guy takes a bite of his matzah, then he sits around and shmuzes, starts reading his bottom of the yard scroll about the next shot on the kerech, you know, and he's draining around, and then he's going inside to check out what's going on, he's looking for the afikomen already, and then he comes back 10 minutes later, continues to eat. So that's a problem. That'll talk about this qualify your kedecha l'spras. If you just sit down and eat normal like everyone else does, so then you eat a kedecha l'spras, kedecha l'spras, you're going to be home free. This din that kedecha l'spras carries over for mitzvahs as well. This is the way one performs the mitzvah. So does the Gemara mean that this is lechatchila, that a person can absolutely lechatchila sit down to the Seder and eat his kazayas within the shear of kedecha l'spras? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So that's what I would have said. I said, why not? If that's what the halacha Moshe Sinai says, why do I have to be frumer than the halacha Moshe Sinai? If the halacha Moshe Sinai says that's called an achila, as long as I meet those criteria, if it's a kazayas kedecha l'spras, what should possibly be wrong? Even lechatchila. So there is a big chiddush that there are some of the rishonim, some of the late rishonim have that maybe that's not the case. Maybe when the Gemara says that you yaitz the mitzvah of kazayis bechtech l'espras, maybe that's only b'diavad. Maybe lechatchila you have to eat it bevasachas. You have to swallow the kazayis mamash at one shot, assuming you have a fairly small kazayis. So that's what there are some rishonim who have such an idea. Where did that idea come from? Even I didn't say we passed like that. Where in the world did that idea even come from? So it came from a Mordechai. Mordechai Maseches Pesachim is bothered with the cash. He raises a very technical, very mitzias type of a kasha. It's like a kasha you would expect, like I don't know, Khalil, I don't want to be mazal in the word. It's like a kasha like a kid would ask. But he asks in a very, very lamedish way. He says, we know the famous sheet of Hillel. Hillel says that you have to make the kairich at the Seder. So the Mordechai says, the Gemara says in Chulin, that a person's throat cannot take more than a kibbetz. You try to swallow more than a kibbetz, and one shot is not going to go down. So you can't swallow more than a kibbetz worth of food. The Gemara says that in the context of Ilchus Tumah, because the Torah says Kol Oichel Asheyi Ochel, that if you have a certain amount of food that can be eaten, that food is can emit Tumah to other items. So the Gemara says how much is considered to be Kol Oichel Asheyi Ochel. So the Gemara says Kebeitza. Why? Because that's called the Oichel Anechem Basachas. Kach Shiru Chachamim, that if you can potentially swallow Kebeitza one shot, more than Kebeitza won't go down in one shot. So that's not called Kol Oichel Asheyi Ochel. So that's a Dimin Torah. The Kach Shiru, that's the Shir of the Aloch, that more than Kebeitza is won't be the base of Bliya, can't be Machzik. The throat can't be Machzik more than a Kebeitza. So the Mordechai asks, when a person sits down to have Kairich, he's eating more than a Kebeitza. Why? Because he's eating a combination of 3 kezesim. And a kezais is a half a Kebeitza, he's assuming. So when you're eating a Kairich, you're eating 3 kezesim. 3 kezesim is a Kebeitza Mechza. How in the world can you eat a Kebeitza Mechza one time? So how can you do Kairich? It's a Kasha Hill? Kasha Nagana? What are you doing Kairich? How are you doing Kairich? How can you physically swallow Kairich? That's the Mordechai's Kasha. Because after all, you can't eat a Kebeitza and a half at one shot. It's physically impossible. So first of all, what was the kashya? Where are the 3 kebeitzim? So the Mordechai seemed to be learning the 3 kebeitzim were the Pesach, Matzah, Umaror. That Matzah Umaror for sure is in the Kerich, Matzah Umaror Michluhu. And the Mordechai seemed to be learning that there's a third kezayis there, that you have to, Bezman HaMikdosh, you had to eat a Korban Pesach as well. So you had to eat all 3 kezayisim at one shot. So that's a big machlekes of Rishonim. Some Rishonim would say that even in the days of the Beis HaMikdosh, Hillel never said you have to have Pesach in the sandwich. You ate the Korban Pesach separately, then you ate the Matzah Umaror together. But where does it say you have to eat the Matzah Umaror with the Pesach? The other Rishonim say, no, Matzah Umaror Michluhu, that means you have to, Luhu is referring to the Pesach, so you have to eat all 3 together. So that was the technical machlekes of Rishonim. Bezman HaMikdash, Bezman HaMikdash doesn't make a difference because we don't need Korban Pesach today. But Bezman HaMikdash, that was the machlekes of Rishonim. What did Hillel sandwich look like? Did it look like Pesach Matzah Umaror Biyachad, or was it just Matzah Umaror Biyachad? So that's why in our Haggadah we have 2 different nischals. So 2 yourselves in the Haggadah. What you say when you get to Kerech. So one version of Kerech is Shaya Kerech Matzah Umaror Biyachad Biyachad, and the other nusach of Kerech is Shaya Kerech Pesach Matzah Umaror Biyachad Biyachad. You eat all 3. So in the Maxwell House Haggadah, which was Kaveh, all the Minhagim for America, so they quote the word Pesach in parentheses. So therefore, some said it and some didn't. So it's Takamach like the Mishbam and the Ram, like the Mishanim and Sachim, whether Hillel actually ate the Korban Pesach together with the Matzah Umaror. So the Mordechai was assuming probably that he did, that he ate the Matzah Umaror Biyachad together with the Korban Pesach. So then yes, listen, you do the math. A half plus a half plus a half is 1.5. So it's too big. It's not going to fit down the throat. So what do you do? So the Mordechai says, no, it must mean like this. It must mean that he chewed it altogether, and he swallowed it as chewed food. When does the Gemara say you can't swallow more than a kibbutz, and that's if it's a whole food? It's very hard for me to even envision swallowing even up to an egg, a whole egg. Going down. I don't know. There's a room there, and it's hot, smaller eggs. I don't know. So the Mordechai says, but if you chew it, then it's okay. Then it'll go down even more than a kibbutz. So the Truma Sadesh, and one of the late Rishonim, the Truma Sadesh, comments on this. Mordechai says, doesn't understand what the kasha was. He said, why was he bothered with the kasha in the first place? Who says he's eating the whole thing at once? Who says he's swallowing the whole thing at once? The Gemara says the Farish that you eat it the Echelos Pras. So maybe the guy sitting down in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, he's got his matzah mortar and Pesach sandwich over there. He takes one bite, one little bite, chews it up, goes down, takes the next bite, chews down. He's watching his watch. It's less than 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever the shear is. He finishes his sandwich within the shear and sure, as you'd say. So why did the Mordechai think there was some kind of a terrible Metzias obstacle, dilemma over here? That how can you eat it at one shot? Who's eating it at one shot? Says it to Mr. Deshin, oh, you see from here that the Mordechai must have understood that you have to eat the kezayis of achilu b'vasachas. I think Gemara says beferish not the way. The Gemara says you can eat a kedechel espras. It must be that the Gemara is telling us a b'diyevet. The Gemara is saying b'diyevet, b'shas al-chaki, yaitzei, as long as it's within 9 minutes, within 4 minutes, within 5 minutes, whatever the shiur is. But lechet chila, you want to know how you're supposed to eat your korban pesach, how to eat your matzah, how to eat your maror. Avad lechet chila, you're supposed to eat it mamash v'vasachas. You should take a kezayis matzah and swallow it down mamash v'vasachas. That's what the Truma Sadesh writes. B'diyevet, yaitzei, the Gemara is beferish, yaitzei. But lechet chila, the Mordechai must have understood that not that way. But why in the world should there be such a din lechet chila? Where would it come from even? If it's so why would anybody think that that's only a b'diavad? Why shouldn't that be l'chetchila? So Reb Tzipa Frank in a Sefer Mikra Kodesh quotes from his own thing, calls from early Rechareinim, who have the following idea that maybe what the Truma Sadesh and the Mordechai were assuming is that there's a difference between the standards of l'chetchila, l'chetchila, b'diavad based on the following yisoid, that there is a Ritva that has this idea in Masechet Yevamos, a different context. There was some Achrayim have it in other areas of Halacha, that very often we have, the Torah tells us to do a mitzvah in a certain manner. And if you read the Pshuta Shel Mikra, it appears that the very, very strict standards of what you have to do, you have to do X, Y, and Z in order to be Yaitzeh. Then comes Halacha Moshe Mesina and says, no, not so strict. You can be Yaitzeh even without the actual, literally, without the Pshuta Shel Mikra. So the Moshe, the Ritva writes in Masechet Yevamos, the Pasuk says, when you do chalitza v'cholza, no alo me araglo. So she has to take the shoe off of his foot. So the Torah says, no alo, his shoe. So if I was just reading Pshat Nechumash, I would have said the Yom has to own the shoe. It can't be somebody else's shoe, it's got to be his shoe. So comes the Halacha Moshe Mesina and says, no, Riva, no. Even if it's not his shoe, it's also good. So it's also acceptable. So comes the Gemara Masechet Yevamos and says, when you do a chalitza lechetchila, you should make sure it's his shoe. And if he doesn't own it, he probably doesn't own such a shoe. So therefore, the beis din has to be mocked, has to give it to him as a matana before he does the chalitza, that lechetchila the shoe should be his. So the Rashba, the Ritva, bottom of the kasha, based on what? If we believe in Tosha Rapeh, the Tosha Rapeh says Nal is good enough even if it's not Nalo, we don't have to follow what it says in the Pshuta Shel Mikra. So then why Lechetchila do you have to do it? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So the Marashach, if you accept the Tosha Rapeh, so then it's good if somebody else's shoe. If you don't accept the Tosha Rapeh, then we're in a different religion. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So comes the Ritva and says, no, the Ford is like this, that since Lamais and the Tosha Rechsav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote, no, alo. So that shows that a Kadosh Baruch Hu really, in the perfect world, it really should be his shoe. Elo what? The Tarshim Apet, the Loch Mosh Mesina, Kadosh Baruch Hu told us, okay, it doesn't really have to be a shoe. It really should be a shoe, but B'diyevet is good if it's not a shoe. So the Chiddush of the Loch Mosh Mesina was a B'diyevet Chiddush, saying that, alright, even though in the perfect world it should be a shoe, but B'diyevet, you can't get a shoe. B'diyevet the Chalitza is still good, even with somebody else's shoe. So well, that's what some Achorenim write, based on perhaps one day in Masechet Sukkah, that the Torah says, Nachal. You have to take aravas and sukkahs, they have to grow by the nachal. So we know it's not true. They don't really have to grow by the nachal. The Gemara learns that from sukkim, arvim chomokom, that even if they don't grow by the water, they're still kosher. So some claim that that's b'diyevet, but lechet chila, you're supposed to take by the nachal. They should take aravas that grew by the water. Why? Because the Torah says so. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want you lechet chila to take arvim nachal, why did he call it arvim nachal? So come a whole group of poskim develop this idea that very often you have a Pshuta Shem Mikra sounds, you have to do the mitzvah in a certain way, and then the Torah Shabbat comes and says, you don't have to do it in such a chumradika way. The Torah Shabbat has Mekel, so to speak, and says, okay, the Kavanah Satara is not really this. So when the Torah comes and tells us that, when it waters down, so it chips away at the Din Deraisa, so that chipping away is B'Torah's B'diyah, but not B'Torah's L'chadchila. L'chadchila, L'chadchila is supposed to do the mitzvah, as it says in the Chumash. Now you have to be very careful about this. This doesn't mean, let's say a guy's going to come and say, oh, I don't want to just pay money. I'm going to be a Torah Shabbat man. I'm going to take out the guy's eye. So that's called kfir. That's called epikursus. That's for sure not the case. So sometimes the Torah Shabbat tells us to be mafkia what the Torah Shabbat says. It redefines what the Torah Shabbat says and says it doesn't mean this. It means doesn't mean X. It means Y. Or machos Shabbos. So Beis is going to say, you know, the Torah says that we can start counting the Omer on Tuesday if we really want to, but we want to be lechatchila. We want to make sure we always start counting on Sundays. That's kfir. That's not because you don't want to do that. So sometimes the Torah Shabbat Mamish tells us that this is not what the pasuk means. The Torah says Shabbos doesn't mean Saturday. Shabbos means Yontif. Ayat HaChzayin doesn't mean poking out the guy's eye. Means paying money. So sometimes the Torah Shabbat says that, and sometimes the Torah Shabbat just in a sense lowers the standards. Doesn't change the pshat entirely. There is a din of Arvei Nachal lechatchila. There is a din of Chalitza lechatchila v'mino shaloi. There is a certain standard lechatchila. But you would be okay without it. So according to that theory, assuming that theory exists, not everyone even accepts such a theory exists, but even if such a theory exists, maybe that's what's going on, maybe Achilles as well. That when the Torah says, the Erev Teichel Matzahs, so that really means to eat matzah at one shot, not to eat it a little now, and 2 minutes later another drop, and 2 minutes later another drop, and 2 minutes later, oh, Baruch Hashem, I made it within 9 minutes, I'm home free. That's a b'di'evet. B'di'evet, as long as you ate k'dechel, this process also okay. But l'chadchil, that's supposed to be swallowed at one shot, one go. That's the l'chadchil of Achilles Matzah. So that's what some Achmarim suggest, b'dasta Mordechai, b'dasta Shemus Edeshim. We are not knowing this way, even though some of the Achmarim do quote this l'alocha, we're not knowing this way. We assume that this is too dangerous of a chumrah to follow, and therefore we strongly recommend not to do this. I tell everybody not to follow this chumrah. Everyone should just eat matzah the way you've been eating matzah for the last 50 years. Just eat it normally and show and you can echel as pras and what is yetzik. Reb Chaim held that the whole chumrah wasn't true. Reb Chaim held that the whole Mordechai never met what the Tumas Hadesh said he meant. The Reb Chaim claimed that what the Mordechai meant, he was talking specifically about Kerech. That Kerech means it has to be a sandwich. That's what Abbasim and Rechu has to be one unit. So Reb Chaim said, when you're eating your matzah alone, what do you have to eat it one shot for? Based on what? To accomplish what? If the Alach Mashtinei says it's an achila, it's an achila. But if, in order to be yaitzer, he did it kerech means biachad, so it's got to be vasachas in order for it to be biachad. So Reb Chaim said that the Mordechai never meant to talk about regular matzah. He wasn't talking about matzah. He was talking about kerech. So the only thing is that according to Reb Chaim, that it comes out to b'dievid, you wouldn't be yaitzer kerech if it's not vasachas. Because there's no Gemara that says kerech was pressed by kerech. So Reb Chaim's a chumra nekula. He's a kula that you don't have to bother pulling off this trick when it comes to matzah. But it comes to kerech, you have to be machmer on this even with the evidence. So we don't pass like that either. We pass it like the coolest of everybody. We pass it, the whole thing doesn't apply. The whole thing doesn't exist. Maybe it's like a chila, but we don't follow it. So the maisa, we're back to the way we've been doing siddur for the last 50 years. Just eat your matzah normally, eat your mar, normally eat your kerech normally, and we assume you'll be yaitzer the mitzvah. It's probably good enough even like a chila, and we shouldn't risk doing it in any other manner. But Rakom Parim, you see from this discussion of the Zimus Hadesh and the Mordechai of Chaim, you see this is a major issue that we're discussing, namely how does this relate, this whole concept of Kedechel Espras, the Kedechel Espras potentially, but the other, according to the Zimus Hadesh and the Mordechai, maybe the whole notion of Kedechel Espras, this is an afterthought, it's a b'di'evet in the Torah. I mean, the lechatchila is really b'vasachas. And others say the whole thing is lo hayadvar miyachon, it's not true. That once the Torah Shabbat comes and tells us that Stam Achila is Kedechel Espras, that defines Achila even on the level of the Okay.